He lived from 1865 to 1936. He was English, yet he was born in Bombay, India. He wrote poetry and the author of many books like Captain Courageous, How the Leopard Got His Spots, and The Jungle Book. Who was this man? Anybody?
Rudyard Kipling.
Kipling, yeah. Good, thank you. Rudyard Kipling. Kipling's writing not only made him famous, but it also brought him a fortune. One day, a newspaper reporter came up to him and asked, and said, Mr. Kipling, I just read that someone calculated the money you make from your writings and that it amounts to over $100 a word. So the reporter reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and said sarcastically, "Here is $100, Mr. Kipling. Now, you give me one of your $100 words." Kipling took the money, looked at it, put it in his pocket and said, "Thanks." Friends, the word thanks is certainly a $100 word. In fact, it's more like a $1 million word. It is small, but it has a powerful meaning. It only has 6 letters, but it gets across a message that few other words are capable of achieving. In this Thanksgiving service, I want to share about the importance of having a thankful heart and an attitude of gratitude. Perhaps I will use some illustrations that you have heard before, but they are worth repeating. For example, some years ago, the cartoon pictured Charlie Brown bringing out Snoopy's dinner for Thanksgiving. It was just the usual dog food in a bowl. And Snoopy took one look at the dog food and said, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world today is eating turkey with all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food." And after he stared at the food for a moment, he said, "I guess it could be worse. I could be the turkey." There's always something to be thankful for, friends. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
There's always something. And in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, Paul wrote something we need to consider at Thanksgiving. Paul said, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it..." Thank you. "If you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" But you know, that same verse in the Living Bible, the paraphrase of the Old Testament and the New Testament, it kind of puts it in a nice way. It says, what are you so puffed up about? Thank you, Peter. What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you are so great and as though you have accomplished something on your own? Reminds me of a young man who was feeling very proud of himself. He was a brand new university graduate who had taken the CPA exam and had passed it with flying colors. And now he was a fully fledged, chartered professional accountant. And his father, in the meanwhile, was a fellow that was an immigrant to the USA. And he owned this little business. And so this university student, this graduate, he was filled with self-importance. He goes to his father and began to criticize his father for the way his father kept the books. He said, "Dad, you don't even know how much profit you've made. Over here in this drawer are the accounts receivable. In that drawer are the receipts. And you keep all your money in the cash register. You don't have any idea how much money you made. The father answered, "Son, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was a pair of pants. Now, your brother's a doctor, your sister's a teacher, and you are a CPA. Your mother and I own this house. We have a car and we have this little business. Now add that up, subtract the pants, and the rest is all profit." Amen. Add it up, folks. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to take inventory. We need to add it all up. We came into the world with nothing but the eternal soul that God gave us, and everything else is profit. Amen. Max Lucado says, "I awake in a world of miracles every morning. Every time I breathe and use the oxygen and incorporate it into my body, it's a miracle. Every time I open my eyes and see the beauty that surrounds me, that's a miracle. Every time I touch the hand of a baby, that's a miracle. Every time I take a morsel of food and put it in my mouth and chew it, and my body digests it and uses the energy from it, that's a miracle." Lucado says, "Just as surely as it was a miracle when God opened the waters of the Red Sea, just as surely it was a miracle when Jesus fed the multitudes, just as surely as it was a miracle when Jesus healed the blind man, we wake up in a world of miracles every day. And we ought to give thanks for that." Someone wrote, "I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit me a little snug because it means I have enough to eat. I am thankful for my shadow that watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. I'm thankful for the lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for the spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. I'm thankful for the huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. This must have been by one of the fellows here. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in the church who sings off key because it means I can hear. Somebody said, "I'm thankful for the huge piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby." I like this one. "I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means I'm alive." And one more. "I'm thankful for the weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I've been productive." Remember the old hymn? Ellen mentioned it. "When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Friends, Thanksgiving is not only for now, for today, for October. Thanksgiving is a daily discipline. the Word of God tells us that it should be a continual daily attitude. Ephesians 5, verse 19 and 20, Paul tells Christians speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks sometimes. No, you're not listening, you're not looking. Paul says, giving thanks always. For all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our other verse says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, is a tremendous passage of thanksgiving. And yeah, it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul's main subject here is praise and thanksgiving, friends. Notice the other important words in this passage is always, continually, and in all circumstances. It sounds like Paul is talking about a church service, but he isn't. He's talking about a continual attitude for Christians, an attitude of the heart. But how, you may wonder, can we have an attitude continually, especially in all circumstances? Friends, I believe the answer lies in our perspective of thanksgiving. We need the proper perspective. Here's another illustration I told you 5 years ago. A young lady wrote home from college. Dear Mum, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm has been broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of the dormitory when we had a fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the gas station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice. I must admit that I am pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine. I will write more when I get a chance. Love your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true. But I did get a D in sociology and I failed chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in the proper perspective. Friends, to be thankful in all circumstances, we need the proper perspective of our circumstances and of our Lord. Only then will we be able to give thanks to the Lord always. Now, you do need to realize that Paul doesn't say, give thanks for all circumstances. He says, be thankful in all circumstances. No matter how terrible some of the circumstances in life are, friends, with God's help, there will always be that for which we can be thankful. Sometimes the circumstances might be downright bad, but still, we are to look for something to be thankful for. Bible commentator Matthew Henry, after being robbed, he wrote this in his diary. Let me be thankful first because I've never been robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Don't you agree, friends, that it's important to have a heart of thanksgiving in all circumstances? Be thankful that you don't already have everything you want. If you did, there'll be nothing to look forward to. Be thankful when you don't know something. It gives you an opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times you grow. Be thankful for your limitations because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge because it will build character and strength. Be thankful for your mistakes. They'll teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you are tired and weary. It means you've made a difference. Friends, it's easy to be thankful for good things and good times. But a life of true fulfillment can come when we're also thankful for the setbacks. As hard as it may be, find something to be thankful for, because they will become your blessings. Dan Balan told me years ago, I'm thankful for minus 20 because it means there's no mosquitoes. Isn't that true? I think that the biggest Thanksgiving killer is when stores have sales and send out their flyers and catalogs, because many of us stop thinking about what we have and we start thinking about what we want. Someone wrote, half the world is unhappy because it cannot have the things that make the other half unhappy. The most unhappy person in the world is not someone who didn't get what they wanted. The most unhappy person in the world is the one who got what they wanted and found out that it wasn't as wonderful as expected. Sometimes Helen and I will walk through Walmart and see something that we really like. Problem, eh? Yeah. Thank you. Be thankful that you got a phone. We walk through Walmart and we see something that we really like, but we don't desperately need it. And then I say to Hill, don't worry, we'll get it at the garage sale next summer. I like Paul had the right, he had the secret, he had the right perspective. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, but I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You see that, friends? That's vital, contentment. That's the secret of a happy life. Many folk spend their lives concentrating on what they don't have instead of thanking God for what they do have. Sometimes we get so focused on the forest, we forget the trees. And when we fail to be thankful, we tend to find something to complain about. Author Dr. Dale Robbins writes, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. but I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustrations, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Psalm 77 verse 3. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Friends, complaining is the arch enemy of thanksgiving. The two cannot exist in the same heart. And so, if you are prone to complaining, I challenge you to try quit complaining for a whole month. Some are complaining that it's a whole month. Then okay, 1 week. Just try it. When you feel tempted to complain, instead of filing a complaint, file a praise. It will change your life. In Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. The sad thing, friends, is that some people have a confused attitude about their blessings because their priorities are all mixed up. One day, a man discovered that a friend had betrayed him. And greatly hurt by that, he went to his friend and said, "Don't you remember who picked you up when you were in the gutter? Don't you remember who bailed you out of jail and loaned you money when you needed it? Don't you remember who gave you your first job?" And the man replied, "Yes, you did. But what have you done for me lately?" And sometimes we are that way with God. We receive so much, but if things begin to get hard, we tend to say to the Lord, "What have you done for me lately?" Friends, true, you say, "He has given me life and health and peace of mind and all things that I enjoy. But what have you done for me lately?" We all remember the things God didn't do yet. Sir Winston Churchill used to tell about the sailor who rescued a drowning boy. He jumped into the water and pulled the boy out of the water, administered artificial respiration, revived him, and sent him on his way. That afternoon, the boy and his mother were walking down the street when they met the sailor. The boy told his mom, "That's the man who saved me." The mother immediately turned to the sailor and asked, "Is that true? Did you pull my boy out of the water?" The sailor replied, "Yes, madam, I did." And to his surprise, instead of thanking him, she pointed her finger in his face and said, "Now where's his cap?" You see that, friends? God provides us with so much, and yet sometimes we demand, "Where's the cap? What have you done for me lately?" Too seldom, friends, do we tell God that we are blessed and thank Him for all His blessings. In conclusion, friends, I read recently that if you own one Bible, you are abundantly blessed because a third of the people in the world don't have access to a Bible. If you awoke this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than 1 million people who didn't make it this past week. If you have never experienced the danger of war, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, you are more fortunate than 500 million people on earth. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, $20 in your pocket, a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the people of this world. You know, Dwight and I were walking through the jungle there in the Philippines. We came across one community of people in extreme poverty. I was really, really taken aback by that. As we were leaving, I said, Dwight, please don't allow me to complain when we get back to Smoky Lake. You see that, friends? I'm way better off than 500 million people in this world. When we realize that everything we have is because God, in His grace, mercy, and generosity, He has given to us, there comes into our lives a joyful gratitude and a freedom from resentment and anxiety over what we don't have. So as you sit at your Thanksgiving meal today or tomorrow, take time to thank God for your many blessings, and then proceed to do it daily. When I was a young Christian, one of my favorite singers was a fellow named Andre Crouch. He sings a song, My Tribute. He sings to God. How can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are so blessed. Forgive us when we whine and complain. We are so blessed, Lord, for which we want to say thank you. I pray that you would help every one of us here to live with this attitude of thanksgiving, to live every day thankful for your many blessings in our lives, thankful for our families, thankful for our work, our health, everything, Lord. Bless us. Continue to cause your face to shine upon us, Lord. Give us favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with a song, friends, and I want to invite the praise and worship.